It is important that when we profess our faith, we have the intention to practice it, to be people of integrity. And so, when we profess in the Nicene Creed after each homily on Sunday, I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, we are saying that we believe in the characteristics of the church that the founder has given to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. And today's gospel reading highlights the apostolic nature of the church, the apostolic characteristic of the church. And what are elements of this apostolic mark or characteristic of the church? First of all, the church is apostolic because the Lord has summoned us. The Lord has appointed us. First of all, the Lord appointed 12 among the ranks of the disciples to parallel 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, takes on flesh, born within the Jewish nation, fulfills the divine vocation given to the Jewish nation to draw all peoples to believe in the one and only God. So Jesus appoints 12 apostles. They were men of different backgrounds. They were people who were not expected to be religious leaders in those days. Not even just religious leaders, but even to have a religious impact in society. And yet Jesus chose them. And the church is apostolic because the Lord Jesus Christ handed on the faith to these apostles, and they were called to keep the church faithful to what the Lord had handed on to them. They were the pastoral leaders of the church. You remember on the day of the first Christian Pentecost, after people gathered to see what was going on with the 120 Christians after the Holy Spirit came, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, states that Peter with the 11, Judas Iscariot, now replaced with Matthias, Peter with the 11 stood up, and Peter spoke to explain what had happened, to preach the word of God, to preach that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and it has implications for humanity, and as a result, almost 3,000 people were baptized that day. So the church is apostolic because, again, of those 12 apostles. But it is also apostolic because, as a result of our baptism, men and women across the centuries, having distinctive vocations within the church, were called to fulfill the mission of the church. So, in their way, they were called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. They were called to make disciples. We're called to build his church and to have an impact in their communities for good. The reason why we're here today, the reason why Holy Family is celebrating 145 years this year, because men and women decided to cooperate with God to do those things. We have summarized it here at Holy Family as we exist to help people to believe in Christ, belong to his church, and to bless our communities. And that belief in Christ is not just one profession of faith. It is to grow in faith and act upon that faith. It is to do so within the communion of the church, because one cannot follow Christ without being a member of his church. And then as members of his church, we bless our communities by practicing the principles of the gospel. So you participate in the ministry and mission of the church as you raise your children in the practice of the faith, as grandparents encourage parents to raise their grandchildren in the practice of the faith. You proclaim the gospel as you invite people to come to Holy Mass and to worship during Holy Mass. You proclaim the gospel by giving witness to your faith, and that inspires people to want to follow Jesus in the Catholic Church, and they join the rite of Christian initiation for adults. You participate in the mission by bringing food for our food pantry, by giving to the poor box to care for those who are in need, as the Lord Jesus instructed in Matthew chapter 25. Those are some of the ways in which all of us participate in the mission of the church. It's fundamental to our identity, and that should be known by the people that we interact with. If people know us more by our political affiliation the sports teams we follow, the stores we like to visit, the restaurants that we enjoy, if they know about all those things more than the fact that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ within his church, there's something wrong there. It doesn't mean you have to preach or anything, but it does mean that if you're willing to talk about those other things, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, as well as I do, to be able to talk about the significance of knowing that God loves us, has mercy upon us, has called us to be his beloved children, who has given us a bond of life and love that death cannot break. To explain that I do these things because my faith informs what I need to do, because this is fundamental to who I am. Because really the only thing that's going to matter about our identity at the end of life, certainly the bonds of relationship that we have with our spouses or family members or friends or what have you, certainly those are very important. But in the end, what will fundamentally matter is our relationship with God as we breathe our last here on earth and go before the throne of grace to give an account of our lives. For our lives are a gift from God who loves us, who hasn't abandoned us to sin and death, and so that even if we sin, we have the provision for the forgiveness of our sins. So the church is apostolic because we've been summoned by the Lord. We cannot look at the apostles and say, well, I'm just not qualified. You think the apostles were the first apostles were qualified? And then you would think that they would shut up after the resurrection because they had run away from the Lord when the Lord took up his cross, except for John, the evangelist. A number of them had trouble believing that the Lord had risen from the dead until they saw the Lord face to face. And yet the Lord worked with them. The Lord works with us. And so allow the Lord to continue to summon you to him, just as I do the same during Holy Mass, when we encounter the Lord in many different ways, through the gathering of his people, in the person of the priest, in the proclamation of the gospel, in his holy body and blood, soul and divinity, in the Eucharist. Allow the Lord to continue to summon you to encounter him and to learn from him, just as the first apostles did, to see what he to see his example from what he taught, and then to strive to live it out. So that's why it was not enough for the Lord to summon the 12. He sent them forth. That's what the word apostle means in the Greek, to be sent forth. So the church is apostolic, not because we're just summoned to the Lord, but we are sent forth by the Lord into our communities. The gospel reading says that Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority, and he instructed them. So they were sent forth to be his representatives. They were not to be independent contractors. They were not to be people who said, I have my own revelation. They were only to communicate what God had revealed through Jesus Christ and the one who had called them to follow him within his church. And that's what we are called to do. And we're called to do it whether people receive that message or reject that message. Here's what Jesus says. He says, whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. So Jesus says that we are not to stop our mission just because some people may reject us. What happened in the reading before this gospel reading today? It's from the same chapter as the gospel reading from last Sunday. Jesus was at his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, and many of the people there did not believe him. In fact, they were offended by him. They wondered where he got all of this. And Jesus marveled at their lack of belief. Did Jesus say at the end of that gospel reading, I might as well just stop my mission now and just go home? No, he continued to persevere in doing what he was called to do in the world. And so he said the same thing for his disciples. So just because people may reject the message, just because people may be in conflict with us because we're striving to live according to our consecration as Christians, does not give us an excuse to stop. It gives us the occasion once again to say, I know who I am in God. I will continue to live according to that. I'm not involved in a popularity contest with you. I'm involved with being faithful to my God. And that is what Jesus asked the first apostles to do. And he asked the apostles, don't give up on those people who reject you. Don't get into a long debate with them, but show how serious you are by shaking the dust from your feet. What is that all about? Well, in those days, the Jewish people knew they were consecrated, they were set apart as God's people, and when they walked in Gentile or non-Jewish territory, of course, they would pick up dust from the sandals as they walked, but as they would re-enter Jewish territory, they would shake the dust from their feet. And so for the apostles to do that in a fellow Jew's household would be a startling thing. But it was a message from the apostles to say, we're serious, repent, and believe in the gospel. We love you, and we want to leave that as a testimony for you. And that is what we're called to do. Again, we're not doing it from the pinnacle of holiness. What did we hear in the second reading? In him we were chosen by God's unmerited favor. In him we have received the forgiveness of our sins. In him we have received the truth of the gospel. And so, just as we have received that gift, we want others to receive that gift. We are summoned and sent by the Lord to bear witness to him. And the result is that we will sanctify the communities in which we are in. What happened after Jesus sent them forth with instructions? It says at the end of the gospel reading, so they went off. They followed what the Lord asked them to do and preached repentance. And the 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick. The gospel is not only concerned with the hereafter, it's concerned with the here and now. And it's because of the gospel that the church has built parochial, educational, social service, and medical institutions because of what Jesus proclaims in his gospel. And that's why it's always important to remember that none of these things would exist if it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that fundamental identity must be at the core of who we are as parishes, schools, Catholic charities, and Catholic medical institutions. Because the apostles trusted in the Lord's word and acted on that word, the communities in which they were in were changed for good. The same thing happens in the 21st century. Holy Family Church exists to help people to believe in Christ, belong to his church, and to bless our communities. It seems that in the readings that have happened over the past several months, the Lord continues to tell us, never discount the power of your witness, which not only has an effect in the short term, but in the long term. The witness of those 12 apostles has had an effect for 21 centuries almost. And the same God who worked within them is working within us. And so let us trust in the God who has summoned us, the God who sends us in his name, the God who gives us the privilege to work with him, to transform and to sanctify, that is, make holy, the communities in which we live. Indeed, we go forth from this place to glorify God with our lives.